Now we just give a very warm, a very sincere welcome to everyone that's joined us tonight. It's really good to see the hall so well filled. And we just thank you for coming. And if you're here in the wee hall for the first time or for the first time during this series of meetings, then we just give you thanks for coming. And we just want to remind you of the meetings as we continue throughout the rest of the week, tomorrow night and again on Thursday night at 8 o'clock. Now, don't be thinking that the hall is always as full as this. Wednesday night's normally quite so small because there's other activities on in the village tomorrow night. But if you're free tomorrow night, we'd love to see you so that we can just keep the numbers up a wee bit. And so there's a meeting tomorrow night at 8 o'clock, and then Thursday night at 8 o'clock, and then on Sunday again at 8 o'clock. Now, these meetings, of course, are all in the will of God because we really don't know what a day will bring forth. And we just pray that as we would preach, that folks' souls would listen and souls would respond, and that souls might be saved. So we thank you for coming, and we invite you to come in these other nights of this week. I just want to read a verse from the Bible. It's just a very simple verse. It's in John chapter 10 and verse 9, so you don't really need to turn to it. I'll read it and make it clear. It's the words of the Lord Jesus. Jesus said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." Some people tell me that the Bible's a difficult book to understand. Well, I don't see anything difficult about these words. They're so simple that even a child could understand them. And these are the words of the Lord Jesus. Jesus says, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." Jesus said, "I am the door." That's our message tonight. We're going to speak about the door. As we've already indicated, that the concept of a door is something that is very mundane. It's something that is very ordinary. It's something that's very simple. Everyone can understand what a door is. And the Lord Jesus is making this amazing statement as he addressed a group of people. He says, "I am the door." And oftentimes we have meetings with children. We ask the children, "What is the Lord Jesus Christ the door to?" And of course they'll tell us that the Lord Jesus is the door to heaven. And that's true. But there's something we need to have before we can be sure of being in heaven. We need to have salvation. We need to be saved. Amen. And the Lord Jesus is not only the door to heaven, he's the door to salvation. He's the door to salvation. And that's what we're going to speak about tonight. We're going to speak about the Lord Jesus as being the door. The door to salvation. The door to heaven, to the enjoyment of heaven for all eternity. Now listen again to the words of the Lord Jesus. If you forget everything that I say in the next half hour, don't forget these words. Jesus said, "I am the door." Think about it tonight. Don't sleep until the truth of it has gripped your soul. Don't be at rest tonight until you've entered into the joy of what the Lord Jesus is saying. He says, I am the door. I am the door. The Lord Jesus is the singular door, the singular way to heaven, the singular way to salvation. As we think of a door is a means of entrance. As we came into this hall this evening, we entered by the door. If there was no door, then there was no means of entrance. And that's what a door is. It's a means of entering into a building, into a room. We enter through the door. So the Lord Jesus Christ is really saying, listen, I am the means of entrance. I am the means of entrance into the great experience of salvation. And ultimately, I alone am the means of entrance into heaven. Jesus says, I am the door. I singularly, uniquely are the means of entrance. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't say that he was one of many doors. The Lord Jesus says, I am the door. When the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking these words, he was really thinking about the picture of an eastern sheepfold. Earlier on in the chapter, he's speaking about sheep and he's speaking about the shepherds. And he's thinking of the fact that on the eastern hillside, that the shepherds had little sheepfolds dotted across the hillside. And at night, they would gather their sheep off the hills and they would usher them through one singular door into the safety of. And he's thinking of the fact that on the eastern hillside, that the shepherds had little sheepfolds dotted across the hillside, and at night they would gather their sheep off the hills, and they would usher them through one singular door into the safety of the sheepfold. And the Lord Jesus, no doubt, was standing beside one of these sheepfolds, and he's saying, listen, just as there's only one means of entrance into that sheepfold, into that place of safety, there's only one means of entrance into salvation, and I am that means of entrance. I am that door. I am the only door. You see, the sheep weren't at liberty to make their own way into the sheepfold. There was only one means of entrance. There was only one door. And if the sheep was to be in that place of safety, then it must enter through the door. And if you mean to be in the place of salvation, if you mean to be in heaven for eternity, then you'll need to enter in the door. You'll need to trust in the Lord Jesus. You'll need to believe in him, because he alone is the means of entrance to salvation. He alone. Remember, way back in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis, around chapter 6, we read about a man called Noah. And God pronounced a judgment on Noah's world. God saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that all the imagination of the thoughts of his heart were just evil continually. How like our day. How like our day. I spent 4 hours in the little drop-in centre in Cumnock this afternoon today, and I had to go home. As I listened to the talk of the people that were in, as I considered the actions of people that were getting talked about, to think of the things that are being practiced in our day and generation, the wickedness of man is great on the earth. And God pronounced judgment on Noah's world. And God has pronounced judgment in our world. We're living in a world that is heading for divine wrath and divine judgment. But there was a righteous man in the earth. His name was Noah, and God spoke to him. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And God told Noah to build an ark. That ark was going to be a place of safety from the judgment that was coming. And God not only told Noah to build the ark, but he told him exactly how to build it and with what materials to build it. And he says, Noah, he says, on the side of the ark, he says, put a door. I'm glad about that. You see, if there had been no door in the ark, we would have been here tonight. The whole human race would have been wiped out. But God provided a place of safety, and he put a door in it. But there was only one door. There's only one door. And any person that was going to be saved from that judgment had to go through that means of entrance and into the ark. There was only one door, and they had to come by that door. There wasn't 50 doors. There wasn't 10 doors. There wasn't 5 doors. There wasn't 2 doors. There was only one door. So every person that was going to be saved from the judgment of God had to come the same way. They had to come to the one door. But praise God, that door was in the side of the ark. It wasn't up in the roof, but it was in the side, and it was big enough, and it was available and accessible for everyone that wanted to come. The Lord Jesus says, listen, I am the door. I am the door to salvation. I am the door. There's no other door. You know, there's no back doors into heaven. There's no door of our own making or our own choice. There's not 100 doors to heaven. There's not 50. There's not 10. There's not 5. There's not even 2. There's but one door, one way. And my friend, if we don't come to the Lord Jesus, if we don't trust the Lord Jesus, then we'll never be in heaven. We'll never be saved. The tragedy is there are so many people, and they're trying to go their own way, and they're trying to find their own means of getting favour with God and escaping his judgment and finding salvation. My friend, there's only one. Salvation's in Christ, and it's Christ alone. Someone has said there's many ways. There's many ways to get to Christ, but it's only Christ that leads to God. And you know, there are many Christians in the meeting tonight. There are many in the hall that are saved. And they could all stand up here and they could tell us how they got saved. Tommy was telling the people up in Mount Hope that 30 odd years ago he was an alcoholic, drinking in the streets of Ayr, sitting in the park benches,
And God saved him. I was saved as a wee boy of 9 years of age, brought up in a Christian home. We've come from different backgrounds, but we got to the same Saviour, and we're going to the same destiny. And every person here that's a Christian would have a story to tell, and it would be a different story as to how they came to Christ. But everyone that's saved came to Christ, because it's only Christ that can lead us to God and lead us to heaven.
Amen.
Jesus says, I am the door. I am the door. You see, how can the Lord Jesus make a claim like that? How can he claim to be the only way to salvation, the only way to heaven? Because he's not only the door, but he tells us in this chapter that he's the good shepherd that gave his life for the sheep. And you see, the picture that the Lord Jesus was really painting, and the people that he was speaking to knew full well the import of what he was saying. Once the shepherd had gathered all his sheep down from the hill, and he got them through that door and into the sheepfold, he would lie across that door. He would lie across that little opening, and he literally, physically became the door. He was the shepherd. The Lord Jesus says, I'm the shepherd. I'm the good shepherd. And he says, I'm the good shepherd that gives his life for the sheep. That takes us to Calvary, doesn't it? That takes us to that little rugged hill outside the city wall of Jerusalem, where 2,000 years ago, the Lord Jesus gave his life for you and for me. The Lord Jesus said to Pilate, the man that sentenced him, he says, you know, Pilate, he says, you don't really have any power against me, except it were given you from above. He says, I have the power. I'm the one that has the power. I'm the one that has the authority. Pilate, he says, you think you're the bee's knee. You think you're sitting there with all the power of Rome behind you. The Lord Jesus says, I'm the one with authority. I've got the authority to lay down my life. I've got the authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from the Father. And 2,000 years ago, the Lord Jesus laid down his life at Calvary. He laid down his life as a sacrifice on account of the sin of the world. The Lord Jesus laid down his life for the sheep. That's how he can claim to be the only way. Because it's only Christ that has dealt with the problem of our sin. That's why you need to be saved tonight. It's because you're a sinner. And that sin will keep you out of heaven, because there's nothing sinful, there's nothing that defiles will ever get into heaven. So you need to be saved because of your sin. And the Lord Jesus Christ came to deal with the problem of sin. He came to put it away by the sacrifice of himself. And Paul says Christ died for our sins. That's why he's the only way. That's why he can say without a shadow of a doubt that he alone is the door. Because the Lord Jesus is the only one. The only one that did, and the only one that could deal with the problem of man's sin. And so there is only one means to heaven. There's only one entrance into the experience of being saved from our sins and saved from judgment. And that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the door. But you know, if we're going to be saved, then we've got to enter the door. It's not enough to stand outside, you know. I can think of times when we were here, I think it was 2 years ago, and I remember picking up two young lads that were hitchhiking from Cumnock up to New Cumnock one night. And we brought them in the car, and we brought them right into the car park, and we invited them into the meeting, and they said they would come, and they stood just outside that door, and they just looked at the door. And then they turned and they went away. Well, they knew the door was there. And they knew that door was the means of entrance into the hall. But they didn't come in. They didn't come in. And there are many people, and they know that the door's there. They know that there's a door into heaven. They know there's a door to salvation. They know that Christ is the door. And they look, they stand and they look at the door and they admire the door. But they never go in. They never go in. I wonder, is there someone in the meeting tonight, and that's just where you are? You're still admiring the door. You're still looking at the door from the outside. And deep within your heart, you know that the Lord Jesus is the only Saviour. And you know that you need him to be your Saviour. But right now, you're standing outside, and you're just admiring him. Way in the Old Testament, there was a man called Abner. And do you know what was said when Abner died? Died Abner as a fool dies.
I don't think you get many ministers saying that at people's funerals nowadays. I don't think you get many people that would write that on a tombstone. But that was the comment that was made over the death of Abner. That Abner died as a fool. Why? Simply because he stood at a door and wouldn't go in. He stood outside the door of a city of refuge away there in Israel. And in order to be saved from the man that was pursuing him to take his life, all he needed to do was enter through that door and he would have been saved. And the door was there and he knew it was there and he knew that safety was beyond it. But he listened to another voice. He listened to the enticement of the enemy. And he lingered outside the door and he perished. He perished. Died Abner. As a fool dies. It would be sad if that had to be said of you tonight, wouldn't it? That you died as a fool. You died outside the door. Knowing that you needed to be saved. Knowing that Christ alone could save. And yet listening to the enticing voice of the enemy. You see, there is an enemy of men's souls tonight, isn't there? The old devil. The destroyer. The deceiver. And he is so enticing, he's so alluring with all his tricks, and all his subtlety, and all his skills. And he does plants little seeds of doubt and little distractions into people's minds just to keep them from entering through the door. My friend, listen to the words of Christ tonight. He says, I am the door. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. You must enter. It's not enough to know about the door. It's not enough to look at the door. You must enter in the door. You must trust Him. You must be prepared to receive Him as your Saviour and Lord. The door is a means of entrance. But you know, a door is a means of separation. It separates between the inside and the outside. But you know, when we came into this hall tonight, we came from the outside into the inside, and the door separates us. It separates the two realms. And the Lord Jesus Christ says that He is the door. He's not only a means of entrance, He's a means of separation. What that really tells me is this, that we can't have Christ and have the world. We can't have the Saviour and continue in our sins. The minute we trust the Lord Jesus Christ, the minute we step through that door, as it were, the minute we receive Him, then we become separated from the world and we become separate unto God. It's a little wonder the hymn writer says, take the world but give me Jesus. All its joys are but a name. Another hymn writer says, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Is there really anything in this world worth hanging on to? Everything in the world is going to perish someday. Even the nearest and dearest relationship is going to come to an end someday. It's going to come to an end. Relationships are a temporal thing. Relationships are only for this world. The closest relationship that we enjoy in earth will end one day. And yet, isn't it tragedy that there are many people and they refuse to enter into salvation because of a relationship? A relationship that's precious, a relationship that's dear, and yet that relationship will end one day, and those that haven't entered into the door will perish, be lost forever. My friend, is even a relationship, a close relationship, is that worth keeping you out of heaven? What about the pleasures of the world? What about the sins of the flesh? My friend, is there really anything? Is there really anything that's worth having down here? Oh, my friend, that you would accept Christ tonight. Oh, that you would turn your back on your sins. Oh, you would turn your back on your worldly pursuits and pleasures. And oh, that you would just step through the door And oh, that you would separate yourself from everything, that you might be separated unto God and to His Son, the Lord Jesus. That's what the Lord's looking for today. And you come up, He's looking for men and women that will just be sold out to Him.
He's looking for men and women and young people that will yield their all to Him. And they'll say, take the world, but give me Jesus.
People that will live separated lives. No longer finding their satisfaction in the paltry passing things of life, but finding their joy and their peace and their hope and their assurance in Christ and in Christ alone. That's what we've been singing about, isn't it? The Lord Jesus says, I'm the door. There's the door. He's not only a means of entrance into salvation, but He's a means of separation from the world and separation from our sins. You see, we really can't be a Christian and live as we like, you know. Well, that's the type of Christianity that's preached today. That's the type of Christianity you'll get in your God channels. It's a Christianity that says, trust Jesus and just live as you like. It doesn't matter how you live. My friend, I want to tell you, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Do you know what God says through John? He says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And He says concerning those that call themselves Christians and live in this world and love the world, He says, you're adulterers and you're adulteresses. He says, how can you claim to be allied to Christ, to be linked with Christ? How can you claim that Christ is your Lord and love the world that crucified Him? John says, you can't do it. And that door, the Lord Jesus says, listen, I'm not only the means of entrance into salvation, I'm the means of separation from the world. Is that too strong for you tonight? Is that too hard? Well, I'll tell you how the Lord Jesus puts it. He says, if you want to come after me, He says, you'll need to deny yourself and you'll need to take up your cross and you'll need to follow me. That's what the Lord says. That's the demands of Christianity. The Lord Jesus says, listen, I'm the means of separation. You trust me. And He says, if you're really going to be sold out for me, you're going to be done with this old world. You're going to be separated from it. Maybe you're not prepared for that tonight. You would rather live with your worldly friends and your worldly hobbies and your worldly pleasures. And you would rather fulfill the lusts of your own flesh, the sins of your flesh, and then to perish in the depths of hell for eternity. Because that's the option tonight. That's the option. There's no others. But you know, that door is not only a means of entrance and a means of separation. It's a means of protection. It's a means of protection. You're thinking particularly of the door of the house, you know. It's good in a stormy night just to get the door shut. You know what it's like when the lightning's flashing and the thunder's roaring and the rain's pouring down and you leave the car and you run to the house and you get yourself in and it's good just to shut the door and you just feel safe and you feel warm and you feel secure and you feel protected from the storm. The door's a means of protection. The Lord Jesus says, I'm the door. I'm the door. You ever feel as if you're living in the midst of a storm? Storm of anxiety. Storm of doubt. Storms of confusion. Storms of hurt. All the burdens and pressures that come upon you daily. The Lord Jesus says, I'm the door. I can protect you from all that. He says, you trust me and I'll never leave you. All your problems will not necessarily dissipate in a moment, but through it all, I'll be there. I'll be as a friend that sticks closer than a brother, and you can cast all your care on me because I care for you. The Lord Jesus wants to preserve us in the midst of the storms of life. He wants to be with us. He wants to protect us. But He wants to protect men and women not only from the storms of life, but from the storms of judgment. Storms of judgment. And we've already alluded to the fact that we're living in a world that is heading for judgment. We're heading for the great day of God's wrath. Revelation 6. Do you know what I discover in Revelation 6? I discover that when the great day of God's wrath has come, I discover there are people that are trying to run away from it. There are people that are trying to hide from it, and they can't. Terrible, isn't it? When you're caught in a rainstorm, you're trying to hide and you can't get any shelter. My friend, again, that's nothing in comparison to what's going to happen in the day to come when God's wrath is going to fall on this world and people are going to try to run and hide for it, and they can't.
They're going to ask the very mountains to fall on them and to hide them from the wrath of the Lamb. There's no hiding place from God's judgment.
Listen to the words of Isaiah. He said, there's a man. He said, there's a man that's a hiding place from the wind and a cover from the tempest. There's a man.
There's a man who's able to protect us from that judgment, and that man is Jesus.
Amen.
And he says, I'm the door. I'm the door. Would you not like to be protected from the judgment that you deserve? And mind you, every one of us tonight, we deserve God's judgment. Doesn't matter how good we think we are, but we're reminded in the street that we're all sinners. We all deserve judgment. But it'd be good to know that we're protected from it, wouldn't it? The Apostle Paul wrote to the folks at Rome, the Christians at Rome, and he says, listen, he says, there's no condemnation for those that are in Christ. There's no judgment for those that are in Him.
So the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who can protect us from that judgment. And if we're trusting in the Lord Jesus, then that judgment has gone for us.
Because the Lord Jesus, He bore it Himself on the cross. And you know, you read some of the Psalms, and the psalmist is speaking in prophetical language of something of the awful experience of the Lord Jesus when the waves and billows went over Him. As he spoke about sinking in the deep mire where there was no standing, and the deep waters where the floods were overflowing, the Lord Jesus knew what it was to be exposed to the storm of divine wrath at Calvary. Just like that door in the ark. You know, that door in the ark, it felt the full force of the rain. It was battered by the waves as that little ark was rocked to and forth in that mighty tempest that covered the whole earth. But you know, that door was able to withstand that judgment. Was able to withstand it. And those inside were safe. My friend, praise God for one that was able to withstand God's judgment at Calvary. And those who trust in Him are saved. Ah, praise God tonight for the man that's the hiding place from the storm and the cover for the tempest. My friend, I'm hiding in Him tonight. I'm safe and secure in the Lord Jesus. He's my protector from wrath. He's my deliverer from coming wrath. What about you tonight? Are you still exposed to that wrath, the storms of God's judgment? Or I wonder, my friend, are you trusting in the Lord Jesus, the deliverer from the wrath that's to come? A door's a means of entrance. A door's a means of separation. It's a means of protection, but it's a means of exclusion. It's a means of exclusion. You see, there are folks inside the door tonight, but there are folks that are outside. It's a means of exclusion. The Bible tells us about a day coming when the door's going to be shut. The door's going to be shut. You see, tonight the door's open. Not just the door of the hall, but the door into salvation, the door to heaven is open, it's available. The Lord Jesus says tonight, He says, I am the door. And He bids men and women to enter in, to come to Him, to trust in Him. But the Bible speaks about a day in Luke chapter 13 when the master of the house is going to rise up and he's going to shut to the door. Shut to the door. See, that tells me that you have an opportunity to enter tonight. But there's no guarantee that you'll have an opportunity to enter tomorrow. There's coming a moment when the door's going to be shut.
And when that door is shut, there are going to be those like in Noah's day, and they're going to batter on the door, they're going to knock on the door, and they'll say, Lord, Lord, open unto us.
And so, you know, we heard you preaching in the street. Lord Jesus says, but I never knew you.
But Lord, we ate and drunk with you.
But I never knew you. People will make all sorts of excuses, but the Lord will say, it's too late. You're outside, the door's closed, you're excluded. You've left it too late. Too late. Too late. My friend tonight, it would be sad if you found yourself on the wrong side of a closed door, wouldn't it? It's a terrible thing to be shut. You see, there's coming a day when the people are going to come to the door of this hall and the door's going to be locked and there'll be no entrance because all the Christians will be home in heaven. And my friend, that would be sad. You think there might be people knocking on the door of the hall trying to get in to hear the word of God and it's too late. But my friend, 1,000,000,000 times worse than that will be people to knock on the door of heaven and it to be too late. Too late. It's open tonight, the door's open. Jesus says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he'll be saved. But don't presume on that door remaining open much longer. Because there's coming a day when that means of entrance will be a means of exclusion. And the door that tonight was open will one day be closed and will exclude from God's blessing forever all those that have refused to personally trust the Lord Jesus to be the Saviour. One door and only one. And yet its sides are two. I'm on the inside. And what side are you? Jesus says, I am the door. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we just bow again, give thanks for the simplicity of the gospel. Pray that nothing that has been said tonight might have complicated or clouded the issue. But we just pray that the Holy Spirit would make the message crystal clear to any in our meeting that are still unsaved, still on the outside, O God. May the message come to their hearts with power, with the power of the Spirit, and grant, O God, they would feel the need tonight, and grant, O God, that they would act upon that need, and that they would trust the Lord Jesus Christ to be their Saviour. Bless us, O God, as we part, and we just pray that the seed that has been sown might remain in the minds of each and every one of us. We know that the enemy is just around like the fowls of the air, just to pluck away the seed that is sown. But grant, O God, that some of the seed sown tonight would just have fallen on good ground, and we pray it would bring forth fruit. We ask these things, giving thanks for all thy goodness and grace in the Saviour's name. Amen. So we'll just sing a verse of 292 just before we close. 292, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. We'll just remain seated and we'll sing verse number 3 of 292, and after that the meeting is finished. We just thank you for coming, and we invite you to come again tomorrow night at 8 o'clock, or Thursday night or Sunday at 8 o'clock in the will of God. So it's 292, verse 3 only, and then the meeting's finished. Thanks again for coming.